Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 6 to 11, I want to draw your attention to tonight. It is a long text, but we trust that we'll not spend long upon it, just a sufficient time to have an understanding of what the Lord is saying in it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So taking verses 6 to 11 as our text, I want to take as my theme a subject that is dear to God's heart, a subject that is central in the gospel, and that is the subject of pardon of sins. And that's referred to in verse 7. He will abundantly pardon. And my theme tonight is abundant pardon. Abundant pardon. And that, I believe, is the central theme of this text. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the promise of abundant pardon. And then secondly, I want to show you the path to abundant pardon. And then I want to show you the persuasion, the divine persuasion concerning pardon. So first of all then, the promise of pardon. He will abundantly pardon. As it literally is, he will multiply to pardon. Now here's a wonderful thing. Here's a marvelous thing. In fact, I have to say, here's a miraculous thing. That God, the Holy God, can pardon sins. Black sins, wicked sins, vile sins. That's a miracle. It's such a wonder, in fact, that it is really very hard for sinners to believe. I mean sinners who are really persuaded that they are wicked and sinful. It's very hard for them to believe that God could pardon their sin. It's a wonder. Here's a promise, and it's hard for an awakened sinner to grip. Can our vile sins be forgiven? Can our black sins be blotted out? Can we appear in the sight of God white, as if we had never sinned? That's a miracle. That's a wonder. Now remember who and what we are that need this pardon. What does the start of verse 7 say? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will abundantly pardon. So that's God's talking about pardoning the wicked. The wicked, not the good, the wicked. And God's talking about pardoning here, not the righteous, but the unrighteous man. The Lord's talking about pardoning the wicked and the unrighteous. And you know something? That's you and me. That's what we are. That's what I am. Wicked. I'm wicked. And you're wicked too. and we're unrighteous. We're all unrighteous, every one of us. And it does us no good, men and women, to deceive ourselves and to imagine that we're good and righteous. There's people imagine they're good. Oh, I'm good. I'm a righteous man. And if we think like that, if we think that we're good, and if we think that we're righteous, we put ourselves outside this promise. We put ourselves outside this promise. We put ourselves outside the call of the gospel. We put ourselves outside the pale. If we think that we are the opposite of wicked and unrighteous, if we do think that, we put ourselves in a make-believe world where there's no gospel and no need for a savior, no need for a redeemer, and no need of mercy and no need of forgiveness. And that's not the world that Christ came to. Because Christ said, I'm not come to call the righteous. That's not the world I've come to. I haven't come to a good world. I haven't come to a righteous world. I'm not come to call the righteous. There's no such a world. He says, I'm come to call the unrighteous. The wicked and the unrighteous. The gospel, as we all know, men and women, I trust, is Christ seeking and calling sinners. So if you or I imagine ourselves to be righteous without Christ's redemptive work, we're terribly deceived. There's none of us righteous. The Bible's so clear about that. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we're here in the text, the unrighteous man, the wicked. Now notice where we are wicked and unrighteous. In our ways and in our thoughts. Because it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's where we're wicked and unrighteous. In our paths. In our actions. In our goings. In our deeds. In our works. Wicked in our ways. And unrighteous in our thoughts. Even our thought life. It reaches to our thought life. You remember how the Lord Jesus said that within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. That's how it all begins. That's the first thing he said, evil thoughts. And then it comes out into the ways, all the evil ways, and he gives a list of different ways that men go. That's us. You remember how the Lord said to the Pharisees? He says, you Pharisees, you just make outside clean. You just make outside appear clean. You look fine in the sight of men, he says. But he says, I know you inward. And inside you're full of ravening and badness and evil and wickedness. That's what he said. So every one of us here is described the wicked and unrighteous. And what I'm saying, men and women, it's an awful thing to discover that. I mean to really discover it. To really be awakened and to learn it. It's an awful thing. Now, it's a good thing, don't get me wrong. It's a good thing to be an awakened sinner. But it's an awful experience. An awful experience whenever you have your eyes opened and you realize that in God's sight you're wicked. You're just bad. You're just evil. And even your righteousness that you thought was righteousness, you discover that it's just filthy rags in God's sight. And you get this consciousness of sin. And whenever you discover that consciousness of sin and know you're wicked in God's sight, it's an awful thing. to know that one's terrible deeds and terrible thoughts are all going to have to be accounted for before God's bench of judgment. It's an awful thing to be an awakened sinner. And you can hardly believe, is there pardon for me? That's how the awakened sinner thinks initially. How could God forgive me? How could he forgive my black sins? It's an awful thing to go through that convicting experience. And maybe somewhere in that experience tonight, this awful conviction of sin, and you know and you feel, I'm a wicked man. I'm an unrighteous man. Well, then this is your text. This is your text tonight, sinner. Because there's this promise. Abundant pardon. That's the promise. It's twofold, in actual fact. The source of pardon, God says, I will have mercy. I will have mercy. That's what the sinner needs. That's what the awakened sinner who discovers he's wicked and unrighteous needs. He needs mercy, and God says, I will have mercy. And God says, I will abundantly pardon. It's not ordinary pardon. It's not natural pardon. It's abundant pardon. Abundant pardon. So our sins are so great, and our offense against the holy God, even if it only sinned once, even if it was only once, even if it only told one lie, even if it only used God's name in vain once, it's black, black sin. And we've done far more than that. But this is abundant pardon that deals fully and truly and adequately and completely and eternally with our sins. Don't forget those two words, abundant pardon. And whenever you're on your deathbed, child of God, and the devil brings his sins back, and he will, don't you forget these two words, abundant, abundant pardon. And he's promised it. And he's sworn by himself, and the word, as we've seen and will see, it's gone out of his mouth, and it shall not return. I'll abundantly pardon. So the promise of pardon, abundant pardon. But then secondly, I want to consider with you the path to abundant pardon. Because the promise of abundant pardon made out to sinners is in the context of an offered promise. It's an offered promise. The wicked man, you see, the unrighteous man, or as it literally is in the margin, has that, the man of iniquity. The wicked man of iniquity, the sinner, is given the gospel offer. He's given the offer. The sinner must know that there's only pardon, abundant pardon, and it's only found in the Lord. It's only found in the Lord. And that's the path to it. The sinner must know that you have to seek the Lord. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let him forsake his way and his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. And he will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. It's only found in the Lord. It's only found in the Lord. And a man's only going to get it from the Lord. It's not in the church. It's not in the ordinances. It's not in anything that you can do. It's only found in the Lord. That's the only place you'll get it. It's only in the Lord. It's not in ritual. It's not in good works. What does the sinner need? The sinner needs mercy. The sinner needs pardon. He needs grace. And it's only found in the Lord. And the sinner has to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, verse 6. That's how you find it. That's the path to it. You have to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Call upon him while he's near. And then return unto him. Return unto the Lord. He will abundantly pardon. So you see, it's all wrapped up in the Lord, this pardon and this mercy. And you have to seek him. There's no other path. You see, pardon is only found in the Lord Jesus. There's no other place. Pardon is only found in the person and, of course, in the work that that person did, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the path to it. There's nowhere else. And it's the Lord who says, I will cleanse. That's the only one who can do it. I will cleanse. You have to get to him personally. You have to have an acquaintance with the fountain individually. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. And I will pardon all their sins which they have committed against me. To the Lord our God, the Bible says, belong mercies and forgivenesses. The path to it is to call upon him and to seek him and to get to him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ. So it's only found in the Lord, and thus you have to seek him. That's the path, the pardon. You have to be a seeker. You'll never get pardon if you're not a seeker. You have to want it. You have to be a beggar at his throne of grace. You have to want the mercy. And I tell you, if you're an awakened sinner, you'll want it. That's the path. And the thing is, he can be found. Because it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be. He can be found. He may be found. You can seek him. You're not seeking vain. He may be found. You can find him. But you have to seek him. If you'll only seek him. If you'll only call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord looked down from heaven, the Bible says, to see. He looked down from heaven to see upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek him. He's looking down tonight to see if there's anybody here who understands how wicked they are and will seek him. So don't let any of us think we're good. We'll not seek him if we think we're good. We'll not seek him if we think we're righteous. But if we know we're sinners and the Holy Spirit has awakened us, we'll seek him. So seek ye the Lord and ye shall live, the Bible says. And not only do you have to seek him, it says, let the wicked forsake his way. You have to repent. You have to turn away from your ways and turn away from your unrighteous, wicked thoughts. And you have to desire salvation from them. And so it says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let him turn and let him desire salvation from his sins. And we have to seek salvation, not just from hell. It's not just about salvation from hell, men and women. It's about salvation from what brings us to hell. Wicked ways. Unrighteous thoughts. That's what brings us to hell. And we have to forsake them and turn from them and desire a Savior that saves us and delivers them from these ways and from these thoughts. And so we have to return. So seek. All the verbs are seek, call, forsake, return. The path to pardon. And then lastly, the persuasion concerning pardon. And that's where verses 8 through to 11 come in. A convicted and a concerned and awakened sinner can hardly believe there's pardon for him. Because he's got to see his sins are black. And you know something? The Lord doesn't show us how black our sins are. Because we couldn't believe if we saw how black our sins were. We would just despair. But we'll see enough of them to still find it hard to grasp. Can I get pardon? Can I be pardoned for that sin? A black sin that I did. Can that be forgiven? And sinners often think their sin is unpardonable. And many convicted sinners actually sometimes say, I've committed the unpardonable sin. This sin can't be pardoned. I've resisted his grace for years. I've made so many promises I'll get saved. And I've resisted his grace, and all the years have passed, and my sin's unpardonable now. And many feel like that. And some would even say, oh, preacher, there are some black sins that lie on my conscience, and I don't think there's pardon for them. Yes, there are black sins on your conscience. That is true. And all our sins are black. And if all of us really saw how black our sins were, we would all say, oh, terrible. How can God pardon these? After all, we can't forgive people who sin against us. So we can't. People do us wrong. We can't forget. Well, we may say we forgive them and go on, but don't really. We don't forget. We find that hard to forgive people who do wrong against us. We find it almost impossible, in fact. That's why we have jails. We don't pardon criminals. We can't. We send them to jail. We lock them up to punish them, and so they'll not do any more like it again. We don't pardon. We don't pardon sinners. We can't. It's not in our nature to do that. We're not like that. It's not natural for us to forgive those that sin against us unless grace gets into our hearts and enables us to forgive. We can't forgive our enemies unless grace gets into our hearts. It's not natural for us to forgive. And we think God is like that. How can he forgive us? I couldn't forgive anybody who did that to me. How could he forgive what I've done against him? And we find it hard to believe in pardon, let alone abundant pardon. We find it hard to believe. And God knows that. And that's why he gives us verses 8 through to 11. He says, abundant pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you. You can't forgive. But I'm not like that. I can forgive. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You can't ascend up to forgive others the way I can. You don't live up in the heights of grace and mercy. My mercy's higher than the heavens, and that's where my thoughts are. But you sinners, your thoughts aren't there. You can't forgive. It's not natural. It's not for you to forgive. You can't do it. But I'm good, and I'm merciful, and I'm gracious, and my gracious ways are higher than men's ways. And my merciful thoughts are higher than men's thoughts. And though men can't do these things, I can, and I do. So God's telling us, I'm not like you men. Why is he telling us this? Because he's telling us, I can pardon because I am God, and I'm good, and I'm gracious, and I'm not like you men. That's why he can pardon. I know the thoughts, he says. God knows how he thinks. He knows what goes on inside his mind. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, abundant pardon. And so you see why he tells us this. His ways, his paths are higher than ours. In fact, the Bible says all his paths, all the ways of the Lord are mercy and truth. All his paths are mercy and truth. You remember how Moses was in the mount and the Lord passed by before him. The Lord went his way. He showed Moses some of his ways. He made a path before him. He made a wee track before him. And the Lord went along that way. That way that's higher than Moses' ways. That way that's higher than all men's ways. The Lord passed by, Moses said. And he proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Abundant pardon, because abundant goodness, that's my ways, higher than your ways. Rend your heart and not your garments, the Bible says, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. The Lord is persuading the awakened sinner of this abundant pardon because his thoughts are high and gracious and merciful. But the Lord doesn't stop at that persuasion. He brings in another persuasion. And that's found in verses 10 and 11. And he proceeds to give this wonderful analogy. And the analogy is often preached about out of context, but I want to keep it in its context tonight. And the context is this word of promise, of abundant pardon that he gives to sinners. That's the context, this word that he sends out that doesn't return to him void. It's this word of promise that he sends out. It's in that context of abundant pardon being promised. And if God gives a promise, he gives an analogy. He says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it doesn't go back again. You know, the rain doesn't come down and then bounce up again into the heavens and into the sky and do nothing. That would be a waste of rain. God doesn't send rain like that. He sends it and it goes through the earth. And it accomplishes the purpose for which God sent it. And it brings forth the harvest and the seed and all the fruit so that the eater has food and that the man, the farmer, will have seed for the following year. And so he sends a rain, and it has this powerful effect. And God is saying, so shall my word be. My word, he means, of abundant pardon and of mercy for the wicked and for the unrighteous. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So if God gives a promise, if he gives a word, he doesn't receive it back again. He keeps it. He doesn't take it back. He keeps it. He lets it go forth among men. He lets it go into the hearts of men so that they'll not despair. So that they'll know it's not a void word, not an empty word, not a powerless word. And if he gives you, sinner, a word of abundant pardon, he'll keep it. He'll keep it. He'll not return. And so he's given this gospel word out of his mouth, and he won't take it back. It goes forth in the gospel into all the earth. And he's not for taking it back. God means this promise of abundant pardon. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. It shall not return unto me. I've given it to you sinners. He's persuading us of its truthfulness. And he's wrapped himself up in the promise. My word. It'll accomplish that which I please. It'll prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That word of pardon is his, and he wraps himself up in it. And he will keep it. And this is a wonderful gospel encouragement, sinner. And so you ask tonight, is there pardon for me? Yes, there is. There's abundant pardon because God has given the word out of his mouth. And he'll not take it back. He'll not make it void. He'll keep it. And it will accomplish in your heart. Now, we can't look at all the things that it accomplishes. At the end of the chapter tells us joy and peace and gladness. All these wonderful things. He gives you that gospel promise. Abundant pardon. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? He keeps his word. This word of abundant pardon. And so you see, he's telling us that there's forgivenesses with me, that thou mayest be forgiven and that I may be feared. And to you, sinner, you wicked sinner, you unrighteous man, if you have the grace to confess it, to you is this word of promise sent in the gospel. And if you will cast away your self-righteousness and what you think you are and just come as a sinner and seek mercy and forgivenesses, you can have it in Jesus Christ. That's the path. And there's this persuasion. So you have this promise. Don't despair. Don't listen to the devil when he says, oh, they're too black. They're not too black for God. Abundant pardon has come out of his mouth. They're not too black for Jesus Christ. They're not too black for the blood of the Lamb. Seek ye the Lord while he may be still found. Call ye upon him while he is still near. Forsake your way and your thoughts and return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon.